This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Have you ever wondered who designed your office? Or who decided on the design for offices in general? If you own a business or a company and you're the one deciding how to design or arrange the desks and cubicles and furniture in your office, do you ever think about who put those ideas in your head in the first place? Or why offices are even designed that way? It might seem unimportant, but the reason why offices and workspaces look the way they do goes way back. And understanding these designs can actually help boost productivity and save money for the company in the process. Like, for example, if you own a startup, chances are you have an open office design. Most new companies employ this concept to do two things: save money and encourage communication with its employees. But the concept of an open office is new. It isn't the hipster-centric wave of the future that we think it is, and it was actually designed to up productivity by breaking the traditional mold of using cubicles. That's what today's episode is all about. Office spaces, most of them pretty lousy, and where they came from. Also, why were they designed that way? And if your office uses a particular design and it isn't really serving its intended purpose, maybe it's time for a slight change. This is Five for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj, and this is a brief history of cubicles and other lousy office spaces.
Number 1.
To understand where modern office design comes from, we have to go way back, like way, way back to the ancient, medieval, and Renaissance periods. This is the earliest indication of any form of office or workspace in recorded history, and it was something called the tabularium. There are diagrams and drawings of this that you can find in history books depicting ancient Rome, or you could just Google it. Same results a million times faster, and it shows that these old tabulariums were used to house stuff like public records and may have also been used as a kind of office building for the people who sorted and looked after these public records themselves. In other words, they might have been some of the world's first librarians. What's interesting is that the tabularium wasn't the only office concept to come from this period in history. Back then, the earliest form of cubicles might have actually been used by medieval monks to work on their manuscripts. They would call these little spaces scriptoriums. It was basically a three-wall alcove with a curtain to maintain privacy, which is why sometimes writers, scribes, and even the illuminators of that time would use these scriptoriums to get their work done. Now, the design of these cubicles isn't random or for the sake of being cozy. They were actually specifically built that way, like an alcove, to maximize focus and privacy, which is probably why cubicles became and remain such a staple element of proper office design, even though it's now seen as outdated and traditional and slightly redundant. There's a famous painting of St. Augustine by Botticelli that shows him in one of these scriptoriums, and many historians believe that a lot of the work and the writing that was done during the Renaissance era was done in these secluded spaces because of how much it allowed these scholars and thinkers to concentrate on their work.
Number 2.
Now, believe it or not, professional individual workspaces only started happening in the 1600s. Before that, and this is according to Witold Rybczynski, author of a book called Home, The Short History of an Idea, most people who had professional jobs like lawyers and civil servants just used to work from home. Weird, right? It's like we've come full circle with the whole concept of freelancing and working remotely. More on that later. But anyway, back to the 1600s, this is when people started using separate buildings to house offices and designated workspaces for specific jobs, and it took a long time for major cities and townships to catch on to the concept. Like in London, for instance, it wasn't until 1726 when the old Admiralty buildings started being used as the first purpose-driven office spaces, and they were used to store paperwork for the Royal Navy at the time. The Admiralty buildings also popularized the use of designated meeting rooms, which is why today's workspaces always have separate meeting rooms. So the next time you fall asleep in one during a colleague's PowerPoint presentation, Just think about the history behind the room that you're sitting in. In fact, there's a very famous room in the Admiralty buildings called the Admiralty Boardroom, which is still in use today. Since this concept seemed to be working pretty well, and everyone, for whatever reason, seemed to agree unanimously on getting up every morning and going to work, staying there for 9 hours and coming back just before sunset. Since that concept was so popular at the time, the East India Company followed in the Admiralty's footsteps and built its own headquarters. Here's what's interesting. This is also when the idea of open offices started popping up, believe it or not. The cubicle design, or the separate room design, was used for people who did quote-unquote intellectual work, stuff that needed a lot of focus and a lot of thought. They needed privacy and didn't want to be interrupted. But for the more mechanical work, employers actually built wide spaces and shared desks so that these employees could be placed in the same room and under proper superintendence. So think clerks, post office staff, anything that had a fixed routine and needed a more hands-on approach, they all basically shared a room that resembles the design of today's open-style offices. Which makes you wonder, are open offices really being used the right way, or is it just a trend that everyone picked up on with no clue on whether or not it actually works? That's actually something that'll be answered on next week's show on open offices specifically, but for now, stick around. Our history lesson on office design continues after the break, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Five for Fortune. It's a brief history lesson on today's show. We are talking about the concept of open offices, cubicles, and workspaces, and how they all started. We covered ancient Rome and the Renaissance era, as well as London in the 1700s with their first designated workspace in the Admiralty buildings. Now, let's fast forward a bit to the 1900s. This is where things really start to change in terms of workplace design. It's the birth of open offices, and it's number 3 on today's list.
Number 3.
The year is 1906, and the famous American architect, interior designer, writer, and educator, a man by the name of Frank Wright, came up with the design for a modern office. Now, Frank Wright is a very important name in this history lesson because his designs, his thought process, is the reason why our offices look the way they do. Most open offices try to imitate the ideas implemented by Frank Wright, and the truth is most offices fail because they don't really understand what any of the design means. They just copied it because it looks cool and trendy, and I guess they wanted the aesthetic. Anyway, Frank Wright designed about 1,000 structures throughout his career, and 532 of them were actually completed. His biggest contribution was his belief in something called organic architecture. See, according to Frank, structures and buildings and workspaces where people spend a lot of time needed to be in harmony with humanity and the environment. So when he designed the first real open office in 1936, he designed it in a way that made everything flow, for lack of a better word. See, office spaces were meant to maximize productivity, and Frank knew that people needed to be comfortable if they were going to be productive, so he designed offices without quote-unquote boxes, without squares or walls. It was essentially an open office, and each employee had their own desk with enough space between them and the next person. He also used a lot of very slim, cylinder-like pillars in his spaces, which were connected to a ceiling completely illuminated by edge-to-edge panels of lights and lamps. These offices were big, they were bright, and honestly really, really beautiful. Managers and superiors occupied the second floor or the upper floor with a clear view of the entire office and everyone's desks. Now, here's the thing. Frank Wright's idea for the open office was well thought out, and it was near perfect. It was meant to usher in a new wave of workspaces, and his designs are so meticulous and people-friendly that these offices were meant to enhance the comfort of employees while also boosting productivity levels. The problem is, other offices started copying Wright's concepts without really understanding the reasoning behind them. So they would skim on some parts, they would cut corners, they would remove crucial elements of the open office design, and most of the time, what you ended up with is just an open space with desks crammed together. No real flow, no real organic architecture, and very little space in between. So here's the funny thing. That's what today's open offices look like. And while a lot of us think it's cool and trendy and fun, very, very few open offices actually serve their intended purpose. More on that in next week's episode. But yeah, you know, if you love open offices, you have Frank Wright to thank for that.
Number 4.
Okay, so we're finally in modern times, or at least within the last 60 years. And very interestingly, things seem to have sort of regressed or reverted back to cubicles in a way. See, by the 1960s, open offices were already really popular, especially with young people. Now, there was a new trend coming along called Bürolandschaft, because it was originally a German design concept, and Bürolandschaft roughly translates to office landscape. The office landscape movement was supposed to democratize the workspace and encourage more interaction between employees. This is where Robert Probst comes in. He's the president of Herman Miller Research Corporation, and he hates how offices, in his own words, saps virality, blocks talent, and frustrates accomplishment. So what does he do? He creates something called the Action Office, which is now known as the first flexible cubicle space because it offered an alternative work setting with some privacy while still not restricting movement. Because of Probst, cubicles came back. His Action Office initiative was basically a hybrid of traditional fixed office spaces and Frank Wright's modern open office design. Now, there is another design element that happened during this same era, and probably even because of the Action Office. See, as more women entered the workforce in the 60s and the 70s, they realized that the front of the desks were not covered. There's an article from The Observer, which is a British paper, in 1968 that highlights a few issues that women were facing at the workplace. For instance, Ivan Mitchell, who was the chief architect of a company called Boots, he sat in his private office with smoked glass, and apparently he had to turn his desk sideways because, and this is according to him, he suffers from something called visual distraction. In other words, he had to look the other way because he could see the female employees' miniskirts from where he sat. This prompted a new design at the time of something called a modesty panel, which basically covered the front of the desk. And yeah, you know, that's where that design comes from. That panel was originally called a modesty panel, and that's why the front of the desk is covered. Now, everyone, men and women alike, know how annoying that panel can be because it restricts movement, right? So another article in The Observer, this time from 1970, argued that, and I quote, "A woman's legs are nothing to be ashamed of, and there is no reason for hiding them behind an obstruction that serves only to tear stockings and add to discomfort and inconvenience." There was a lot of controversy surrounding what we think is just another piece of common desk design. Anyway, the Action Office and its sort of modular flexibility became incredibly popular, and everyone wanted to work in one. So these flexible spaces went on to mass production, and that's how the modern cubicle was born. The one with partitions and thin walls and fabric linings. Yeah. Again, just like in Frank Wright's case, people only saw the flexible cubicles and tried to imitate the design without actually taking the time to understand how its design works and without spending the money on those proper designs. These new mass-produced cubicles were small and ugly and cheap, and they just never went away. Probst himself gave his response to the mass usage of flexible cubicles and said that not all organizations are intelligent and progressive. Lots are run by crass people who can take the same kind of equipment and create hell holes. They make little bitty cubicles and stuff people in them. Barren rat hole places. Ouch.
Number 5.
Finally, we are here, today, the now, and if you've been paying attention, a lot of these designs, these office space designs, seem to work in a circular motion through history, as in old designs seem to be new again, and new designs seem to revert to older ones, so on and so forth. And using that logic, we are now in an age that's starting to resemble pre-office work culture, as in a lot of people are starting to work from home. There's a few reasons for this. The gig economy pays well, and people have started relying on those jobs as much as they do their regular jobs. And to encourage a more remote way of working, offices have started to prioritize things like game spaces, sleep pods, plant walls, lounges, even hot desks. It's a way of making the office feel a lot like home, in the sense that You aren't tied to your desk or cubicle anymore. You can be mobile, you can be moving around, working on code from the comfort of a beanbag while sipping on a frappuccino. Co-working spaces have taken that concept one step further. They allow people to really work remotely from a number of different locations. You get a desk for a day, work on whatever it is you're working on, and head off whenever you want. No bosses, no supervision, no office whatsoever. The co-working space idea has become so popular that there's an oversupply of these facilities. In KL alone, there have been co-working spaces that have popped up and closed down within the span of a year because, frankly, there are just way too many co-working spaces at the moment, and it's hard to beat the really popular fancy ones. You have companies that employ people they've never met in person, working on projects from across the planet, sitting at a co-working space facing the beach, and that's the idea of work for some people. And for others who are still needed at a physical office space, more often than not, it's an open office. Either way, no matter what kind of office you currently work in, now you know where your office design comes from and what purpose it was built for in the first place. Right, that'll do it for today's episode. I will be focusing more on open offices next week, so tune in for that. Lots of stuff that you may or may not know about the concept of open offices. And of course, if you don't catch it on air, you can stream it again on the BFM app at any time. Just download the app for free on the Apple App Store and get it on Google Play Store. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on 5 for Fortune, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.